Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Forgive me, last night I had, the night before last night, I'd suffered some kind of a vocal strain. I had gone to my ear, nose, throat.
But it's more than that, right?
Bud, you know.
Well, ear, nose, and throat.
Ear, nose, throat. Yes, these guys keep saying there's got to be more than that. What does that mean, there's got to be more than that?
Well, the doctor is the ear, nose, throat.
Yeah.
And what else?
Ear, nose, and throat. Doesn't mean he doesn't know anything about the rest of the body. It means that that's his specialty. You go to an ear, nose, and throat guy.
But that's all he knows about.
No, that's not all he knows. To get a medical degree, you have to know basic medical, shall we say, you have to have a basic medical working knowledge of the human body and the human immune system and treatment of illness and injury. All right, so it doesn't mean you know brain surgery. It doesn't mean that you know how to deal with skin cancer. You have areas of specialty. And in this specialty, there are doctors who know the ear, the nose, and the throat.
Why? See, that's what you don't explain that.
Yeah, what do they got to do with each other?
What do they got to do with each other? Well, let's think about it. Ear, nose, and throat. The nose and the throat and the ears all have canals that sort of meet in the same place.
Where?
Just down there in the throat, man. Where? When you get a cold, where does it go?
Well, it goes away.
It goes away if you use it. Yeah, hey, all right, give me five.
Yeah, all right.
Get out of here, give me five. Where does it go? It goes into your throat and it goes into your nose and it goes into your,
butt.
I'm going to belt you, man. You know I will, too.
Sorry.
You want to ask me a question, you want to make a joke about it. See me raising my voice? Do you see what you guys are doing now? I'm raising my voice. You did this to me, bud. If I lose my throat tonight, if I lose my voice tonight, you did it. That will be on you, not me, you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I hope you feel bad.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt you, Phil.
Then just knock it off, okay?
Yeah, he's upset, man. I really am sorry.
Knock it off, okay?
Yes, sir.
God. It's like, man, we're starting a show and I got to go put you in freaking counseling or something. So anyway, the night before last, something happened during one of the bits where I just lost lost my ability to speak. And not being a cigarette smoker anymore, and frankly, taking way better care of my health, at least in terms of what I eat. I couldn't imagine what it was, and it turned out that I had a little vocal nodules. And now, that's not as serious as it sounds. Vocal nodules they're like, if I may describe them as such, like calluses that you get on your hands if you misuse or if you use your hands in a way that will injure them or create that kind of condition. You have to stop. If you have calluses on your hands, for instance, from using a shovel, then you need to put on gloves or otherwise just keep using that shovel until it doesn't bother you anymore. With your voice, it's different. You don't want those there because it eliminates the elasticity of the vocal cords. And so you can't...
Tell the people, you were telling me last night about how you can't go way up high.
Yeah, when you go...
Right, right. You can't... Can't do that, you know?
Do it again.
Don't start laughing. That's a falsetto, okay?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't do with the vocalism or whatever it is.
Vocal nodules, yeah, you can't. And for many years, I was not able to until I went into speech therapy. I literally had to have speech therapy. I had to learn how to do all these vocal exercises. And I went to this guy, this teacher, and he said to me something that was nobody had ever said to me before. He said, if you have laryngitis, you got to work through it. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, you know, if you have laryngitis, you talk like that, well, then you got to sharpen your voice up and make it. He said, make your voice come out, you know, make it happen, you know. I said, well, you can't go up high or anything. He says, no, but you can be heard and understood. Which is completely the opposite of what I used to be told, which was, rest your throat, rest your throat. Now, that was my vote. The other day, the doctor said to me, you need to rest your throat. Because he said you could literally start to hemorrhage, you know, in the throat area. So, make a long story short, that's what happened. I feel a hell of a lot better tonight. In fact, I think I sound better. What do you think?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it ain't bad.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, it's not, you know, I can sit here and go, oh, God.
I'm not asking you to sit there and go, oh, God. I just, you know, does it sound passable?
But sometimes when I listen to you, you sound like, and I shouldn't put it this way, but I think it's important. It sounds like you're having a hard time, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to push out a, you know, like in the morning when you're trying to push one out. It's like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
What are you cats talking about now? I'm asking you.
No, in the morning, though, when you...
I know about in the morning. What are you telling me?
It sounds like you go like this. Yeah, I'm still angry.
Yeah.
Well, are you kidding?
No, man, I swear to God. Somebody goes, yeah, this is Phil Henry.
Yeah, I don't know. That may have something to do with me trying to project or something.
I think it is you trying to project onto others. Or not, well...
I'm not talking about psychological projection, all right?
No, I mean projecting the voice.
Yeah. It could very well be me trying to project my voice that I'm going like that, trying to push a bowel movement out.
That's what it sounds like.
All right, in any event, tonight, folks, we're going to be talking about a number of things that are in the news. One of them was this attack in Libya. There's also some personal stories that kind of go along with that, having to do with the people that were killed, and it's a drag. There was a bank robbery here in the city of Los Angeles where the bank robbers were throwing money out the window, and the people were coming out of their houses to get this money, and which is a very normal instinct. We will be talking with a couple of people who resisted the temptation. And we also have this is sort of interesting from the standpoint that not anybody I know, in fact, no one actually detected this. There was on Monday a foul odor that wouldn't go away.
Robert,
shut up, man.
Come on, will you?
No, it was you, man. You're the foul odor.
All right. Southern California awoke on Monday morning to a foul odor that wouldn't go away. Finally, Mayor Villagrosa said, I am leaving for a couple of days to go... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you made a joke.
All right, I can do that. Southern California woke Monday morning to a foul odor that wouldn't go away until they said they're shooting on location and...
All right.
Anyway, residents clogged 9/11 lines with calls prompting health officials from Ventura County to Palm Springs to send out investigators in search of the source. By Monday evening, the leading theory was that the stink was caused by the animal die-off of fish in the Salton Sea.
That's the place you were talking about.
Yes, the Salton Sea is a place that I'm very familiar with because I used to own a place. I had a condo in Palm Desert. And I spent a lot of time in Palm Desert playing golf and doing what you can imagine. You're a single guy and you have a golf condo and it's just down the street from the dance club at the Marriott Desert Springs. And you can well imagine what that time in my life was like. So anyway.
Well, then what are you doing at the Salton Sea?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, you're going down and dancing the night away.
Yeah, swaying to the beat, you know.
I was swaying to the beat. Don't worry about it. But the Salton Sea was a place where you go down and cruise around. I don't know. It was kind of weird. People would go down there and look it over and, like, check it out. It was just... the people you meet cruising around the Salton Sea and hanging out there are they exist.
You're one of them.
And I'm one of them, yeah. I admit, I'm one of them. Let me just tell you so you guys know. The Salton Sea is, as you would imagine, a large lake in the interior desert of Southern California that is saltwater. Not unlike, you know, the Great Salt Lake and other places like that. The only difference is that the Salton Sea also is a sort of a runoff basin for a lot of the agricultural water and waste from the Imperial Valley, which is down near San Diego. As the result, the Salton Sea has become at times a rather putrid place, and yet, there are fish that survive there. One of them is called a corvina, I think, or corvina. I don't know if I got it right.
I think a corvina is a car.
Corvina is a car, and a corvina is the...
Yeah, it's a fish.
Well, whatever. The corvina is actually a pretty decent-sized fish. It's very... my understanding is that fishermen like it. There are guys that go out and fish for this particular piece of marine life, this particular piece of fishdom. So it goes. And they had a hell of a time when the Salton Sea was finally determined to be a place. Hey, let's turn this into a resort location. That's what some bright genius wanted to do. They had a hell of a time introducing marine life there that took hold. They tried different kinds of shellfish. They tried a kind of a shrimp. They tried other kinds of fish. Nothing lived until this Corbina. Now then, the Salton Sea was formed, by the way, by a flood from Baja California. And I don't know any more about it than that, you know.
Well, it must have took place like when? Like back in the 19th century or something?
No, probably back before there was human beings.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Bud's right. Maybe you're right. I think it was actually of recent origin, this flood. So, to make a long story short, in the 1960s, they decided they wanted to turn the Salton Sea into a resort destination. And they, they promoted it on television. And they had all kinds of houses you could buy. And they were promoting a marina. And they had a this and a that. And there was water skiing. And there was fishing. And there was golf nearby. And there was a... Never took off. So today, it's like this really interesting ghost town, man. When you go down to the Salton Sea, here's this large sea, this large inland saltwater lake. The smell of it is both rank and sort of prehistoric. I don't know how to, you know.
Well, it smells like dinosaur?
What is that?
Well, I don't. When I say prehistoric, it's almost as if you're in a prehistoric setting, the way the desert looks around there. And then you go around the other side of the lake, and here are these lots that they had laid out for the homes with the electrical run-in and the plumbing run-in, but nothing built. Then you go down to the marina that was built. It's half underwater now. I think there's a village of squatters that lives down there that is kind of, you know, interesting. So there's these kind of weird people that hang out. You're like, hey, how you doing? Real good. Nice day today, isn't it? You know, they have, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
Kind of like, do they limp?
Yeah, I bet they're all limping along, man. Like, maybe they got some genetic disease, you know.
What do you mean genetic disease? What is that about?
Right, on account of the runoff out of Imperial Valley.
That ain't some radioactive waste or anything, man. Although, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, see?
No, I don't see. So anyway, that is a very strange body of water. Now, according to the LA Times article today, they say there is an animal die-off of fish in the Salton Sea. It could very well be the case. It may happen when some of this wastewater runs in from the Imperial Valley. It may just be an annual die-off of a particular species. And you combine the heat of the desert, you combine the winds that'll come in from the desert, and the fact that, you know, things will decay out there in right conditions if they've got water, you know. It's not like it's laying in the desert and just becomes bones. It sits there and sort of putrefies. It's going to stink, man, and it's going to stink bad. And when I look at you, Robert, and I say that, and my eyes start watering.
Get out of here, man. I take showers every day.
All right, okay. It's my fault. All right, we'll be right back. We'll have more for you on this and other things tonight. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Is that the Salton Sea or is that Robert?
Shut up.
All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
That's a good line,
he's
though.
He's our bitch.
Is that the Salton Sea or you? Show.
Yeah, is that the Salton Sea or your underwear?
Oh, that's real adult.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here. 877-876-7445 is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Mr. Fine on line three, Jim Fine, who for the longest time ran a fishing camp at Big Bear Lake in the foothills, or not the foothills, Big Bear is in the actual San Bernardino Mountains. I was thinking of when I think of the foothills out there, I guess I'm thinking of Lake Arrowhead or something like that. And we got him on our newsmaker line. Got him on our newsmaker line tonight, Jim. Did you hear what we were talking about?
Well, I heard a little bit of the film, and I was thinking of the fish camp that they had at the Salton Sea. This was in 1966. That's what you were asking me about?
I was wondering when they had the big fishing tournaments and stuff out there.
Well, we had a fishing camp in 1966 that probably one that was with the most successful of the different amusements or the recreation for fishermen coming in. But I don't think there was anything tried before that. I don't think there was anything tried after that. And I think that was the best effort someone would give, you know, for something like that.
So when you opened that, what the fishing camp is what? Tell me about it.
Well, a fishing camp is different from just renting a boat and getting a guide or getting a crew together. A fishing camp is where you're going to stay in a lodge, and you're going to pretty much have your sporting support from morning to night. So if you get up in the morning and you want to go fishing or have a boat, you'll have a guide. You also have food, accommodations, and so forth, you know, and not unlike, I guess, if you've read the safari lodges in South Africa.
I understand.
And like this. So a fishing camp, a modern fishing camp, in that sense, was what we ran. But we only had the camp for a couple of years, and then we turned it back over to Bill and Gwendolyn, who'd owned the lease on the property.
Were you there when the Salton Sea just went right straight? Because that's what they're saying caused this smell today in Los Angeles, was the die-off of fish, you know?
Right. Well, you're asking me about...
I mean, were you there when the whole thing just fell apart?
Oh, we saw it happen. We saw, and I want to differ with you on one point that you brought up, Bill. It was not so much intended as a resort destination. I think the mistake that they made was that it was intended as a residential, that it could be a viable, some form of viable suburban community.
And serving what larger area?
Well, serving possibly San Bernardino, Riverside, or even Palm Springs on the growth projections they had at that time at the Palm Springs area. But when we lost Dave Vicker and a couple of the guides that we had, we decided that it was time for us to clear out, and that was after they'd made the decision. You know, the big builders there and the developers there, the marina, had made their decision to leave about a year before. We lost Dave. That was...
And Dave was who?
David was one of our very best friends. He was a guide.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, and it was a... It was a very difficult thing to lose him, but it was a very easy thing to make that decision.
We're talking here with Jim Fine, sometimes called Happy Fine. Right now you're retired, Jim, but you had the fly fishing and different kinds of fishing camps. Dave Vicker died how?
Well, David was lost in the sea, in the Salton Sea. He was lost in the southern end by the incident that we call it the... they made a joke here. What do you want to call it? I said, I don't want to call it anything. I said, I'd like them to do something about it. But they made a joke about a kraken, you know, that kind of thing, or the lake thing is what some people...
What is the lake thing? What is that?
The lake thing is what I told the media at the time and have talked to you about since.
You believe that I didn't know that a man's life was lost, okay?
I had mentioned that to the media, yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. So this gentleman, this Mr. Vickers, has his body ever been found?
No, his body has never been found. Now, the county, San Bernardino, Riverside County, said that the body has been lost to movement of the water, which are the eddies and the flow of the water, the Salton Sea. But the Salton Sea is very shallow. So why can't you find a body in the Salton Sea?
They never found his body?
No.
And you think that this was the result of him being attacked by some kind of oversized marine life?
Yes, by this. I have seen it, and you know that Jim Ebersole has seen it, and you know that there are people that have seen this. And I understand the reticence of anyone that doesn't want to believe the story, but the authorities here... And before you make the joke, I tried to get on the Art Bell show to tell him about this.
You're telling me that something that was a marine life of some kind, a giant sea monster.
Oh, I never used the word sea monster. I never used the word sea monster, and I would never use the word sea monster. I don't think what Dave surrendered his life to, what Dave gave his life for, is a monster. I think it is nature. You understand that, Bill? So I don't blame it. I don't blame it. I don't blame the nature that created it. And I don't blame Dave. I believe that Dave surrendered himself to nourish it. But I do believe that it was something large enough to eat a man.
And I've told you about this, and there's no, I don't think there's any secret to...
No, there wasn't any secret, and the time you told me about it...
Did you pass it off as just some old man's ravings?
No, not necessarily that, but I thought there was something what else would come of it. There would be some other proof. Can you hang on?
Yes, I can, Phil.
All right. I'm talking here with Jim Fine from Palm Springs about the sea thing. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com as well, philhendryshow.com. And if you don't have a backstage pass, by goodness, you should get one. Backstage pass gives you access to all of the audio that that we have, which basically every show we've done for the last close to 15 years, over a decade. And it's yours. With a backstage pass, you can go. You can download these shows. And to your heart's content, you can also watch our video cast archive. You can watch our video cast. Our video cast archive right now is only 5 days. But we also have 1 year's worth of video cast from our Saturday night show that we don't do anymore. And we're planning on loading in more shows there as well. We have a comment section that you can access, and I'm on there a lot, and I talk to people as much as I can. I get so burned out on the show sometimes that I just like one or two words, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times you go on there and say, "Yeah, hi, thank you." Okay, yeah, hi, thank you. Yeah, hi, thank you.
But it ain't that bad.
Yeah, well, one time we went on, Robert and I went on our seat, and you were like, "Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you."
That's all I said?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, I mean, one time you said to somebody, "Oh, you're really nice to say that. Thank you very much." And then the next one you say, "I really appreciate that. Could you tell me where that place is again? Thank you very much."
Well, that ain't the same as going, "Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you."
Yeah, but it all ended the same way.
So what? God, bud, man, that's like me saying, you know, you're fantastic, but you're really boring because your name's the same. Every time I meet you, it's always Bud.
What?
Yeah, what's that mean?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a normal thing to say thank you. God.
Don't get upset about it. Just saying, a lot of times, just like that's all you do is just go, "Yeah, thanks a lot." And people say, like, "Oh, I really love your show, Phil." And you're like that one lady one time. She goes, "Oh, I love you so much, and I would marry you and everything." And you're all like, "Yeah, thank you."
Get out of here! I never did that.
Yeah, you did, man. I don't even think you read a lady. She's all like, "Oh, I would have your baby and everything like that." And
nobody ever got in the comment section and said that. I got news for you.
Yeah, one time.
No bull crap. And I supposedly said what?
Yeah, this lady's all like, you know, hold on. Oh, man, I sneezed and everything.
God, you got loogie on me.
No, I didn't.
All right, hold on. Don't make a big deal out of it. He sneezed. You want to maybe cover your nose, Robert?
I did.
No, you didn't, because I got sputum on me.
Get out of here.
All right. So anyway, what?
So anyway, that lady's all, "Oh, you are great. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." All this like.
Yeah, she's like, she was all hot for you.
All right, okay, I'm done with this conversation.
No, but anyway...
I'm done with the conversation. Thank you very much. 877-876. I'm not going to talk about this crap anymore. Listen, we have on the line with us, we've got Jim Fine from the from his fishing camp there in... Oh, it used to be the fishing camp. Hold on, bud. You know, take the time. I'm telling you, turn that freaking iTunes off or I'm gonna put a fire axe through it. What used to be his fishing camp, now, of course, he is retired. We also have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us here. And we're going to talk a little bit about the L.A. bank robbery. Jim, you there?
I'm right here, Phil. I'm very, very... Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Okay. Jay is coming on. Jay?
If you can hold on, Phil, I appreciate it.
Whatever the laws of any state I'm are right broken, here, Phil. A duly authorized organization swings into action.
Phil, I'm right here.
I hear you.
Call the state police,
all right.
State troopers, militia,
yeah, hold on.
Rangers,
or the
highway
Citizens Auxiliary Police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and
what's wrong?
Have enforced you do it
and
again.
Preserved our state law.
If you don't mind, Phil, can you do that again? Phil Harry?
All right, hold on for a minute, will you? Go ahead.
You turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off because you got to do it again.
Turn it off, then. Don't turn it up too loud.
Like that?
No, not like that. If you want to turn it off, you turn it down. What happened, Jay?
I'm right here, Phil.
Yeah, no, I understand, Jim. Hold this. line.
Well, if you have another guest on.
I do have another guest. I got Jim Fine with us. We're talking about the Salton Sea.
All right. Do you want me to call back then? Because that's not, according to the agreement that I have. Well, I'm right here. If you want me to hang up.
No, I don't want you to hang up. Here's what I want to do, Jay, and what I usually do, and what I like to do, and what a lot of hosts do. I like to meld one topic into the next. In other words, I don't just go, okay, that's the end of that. Thank you. Goodbye. I want to bring on you while Jim is talking about the Salton Sea.
You know, I understand that. I just don't understand what the Salton Sea has to do with what we are speaking about, to what I'm only speaking about with you tonight, which is the bank robbery and people you had were taking that money. You know, that's... if you want me to stay on the line, I'd be very happy, but I'm not sure that I can stay on.
Okay, hang on for a minute, if you don't mind, Jim, okay?
I'm very happy to do that.
All right. Okay, so we're going to have Jim, Jim is just going to sit and wait for us to finish. Jay Santos joining us here from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are discussing here tonight this bank robbery. Now, the bank robbery taking place there in the city of Los Angeles, and this was a bank robbery, Jay, that actually was in Sylmar. It wound up in L.A., and it was one that netted a few thousand dollars, but they were throwing the money from the window, throwing the money out of the window of the truck, the getaway truck, as I understand it, and people were collecting this money, and they were, having themselves pretty much a good time. It looked as if perhaps there was going to be a situation there between the police and other people in keeping those people away. Did you see that?
Well, what I saw, Phil, was this: as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we do monitor as much as we possibly can. Anything, cut down, Bill. We do monitor as much as we can anything that is going on around the city that would require police. And we saw on the television, and we monitor at any given time, Phil Lamar, about 2-3 televisions to ensure that we have the area covered and there are people who are going to be on it. Now, we are a volunteer police force, but nonetheless, we are professionals. We're on the front line of saving lives. And when we saw the Los Angeles police and we saw the L.A. County Sheriff that were sort of not handling, they're not taking care of business, They're not taking care of business. That's the term we use, to take care of the business. And
they were not taking care of business how?
They were not taking care of business in this respect, that when these bank robbers started to throw money out of the window of the truck, what was being driven through the downtown portions and sectors, people were running out of their homes and were going into the street and grabbing this money. That money obviously doesn't belong to them, it belongs to the bank. So the first thing you have to do as a police officer is secure the money and try to keep people away from it. Now, this is a bank robbery. And I hate to have to spell out the obvious to our police friends and the ones that are, always sort of getting the glory and never sometimes do the job good. And meanwhile, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Beaver Brigade, or any of the simulated police forces across the country were left, holding on to a milk pail, as my friend Dean Slaffin says. We're standing there, we got a hand on a milk bucket, got our hand on a milking stool, and I got another hand. If I had three hands, you know where that'd be, see? Yeah, well, Subcommander Gleason just said it'd be milking. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. I mean, but the point is what here?
Well, the point is that they were allowing people to go in the street and take money. That is part, if you are going to look at it technically, if you run into the street and grab money that's been thrown from the window of a car and that money was ill-gained by way of a bank robbery, you are yourself part of that bank robbery. Now, I know you didn't go and rob the bank, but if you take that money or show a willingness or show an inclination or indication that you want to step toward the area where that money is going to be, you are, in point of fact, liable for those monies or those dollars that are being thrown.
Well, what do you expect the police to do?
Well, what I expected the police to do, what I expect the LA County Sheriff to do, is quit trying to get you know, FaceTime on the helicopter shots and try and get their glory time on a TV and get out there and start getting scooping that money up and keep people away from that money.
You got three bank robbers that have just robbed a bank, Jay. Okay?
Now, hang on, Phil. Hang on just a minute.
What is it?
Roger, Park. I thought we had a code. Do we have a code coming in? A code double? All right. Phil... I'm sorry, I was distracted there.
My question is this. You have a bank that's been robbed. There are people that are traveling at a high rate of speed or dangerously in an SUV through a crowded part of the city. These people have committed this crime. They're armed. They've got most of the money with them. You want these sheriffs to break off the pursuit? And
no, not at all. I think that it is not unreasonable.
You want them to break off the pursuit and to start collecting money?
No, Phil, I don't think it's not. First of all, you didn't hear me probably. I don't think it's unreasonable to say to some of the officers, if you can deploy your resources properly, which in this case, not according to at least what I've seen, did the L.A. County Sheriff deploy their resources properly? You deploy your resources properly, you have police officers that are available for pursuit, and also, okay, also... You have officers that are available to go and to keep citizens from the money that's been thrown out of this truck. Hold on. You have to turn that up. That's an alarm. We got a door alarm, Phil.
It's a door alarm where?
In the substation. We have an area where we do keep or detain people. It's not a jail because we're technically, but we use, we're using right now Al Grover's house for a substation, and he has this corner, so we've used this. The only alarm we have is the door alarm that he has that he uses for his swimming pool. In other words, when the kids go out, is there a big door alarm? Yeah.
I don't understand. You guys have you are the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You're an auxiliary volunteer agency. I understand that.
You can say we're volunteer, but don't make that sound like we're... And excuse me for saying this, but it don't mean that we're pussies, okay?
I would rather not use that word. Let's take a break. I got to take a break here, okay?
I want to come back and address that question you had of how I would deploy my resources.
I understand that. We'll be right back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I apologize to Jim Fine from Palm Springs this evening. He was talking about the Salton Sea. He did get into a story about how some sort of marine life out there ate or otherwise consumed a friend of his. Anyway, we'll be back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, I'm ready when you are to tell that story from all of you.
It's great. Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we also have holding on, and I do appreciate Jim Fine from Palm Springs, that we talked about the Salton Sea. And you said, Jay, you didn't have a problem with bringing Jim on?
Not at all, Phil. I understand that the gentleman's been hanging.
So, Jim, you there?
I am here, Phil. How are you?
Good.
And thank you very much to your guest. It's perfectly all right, sir.
I just wanted to ask Jim a question, Jay, on the Salton Sea. His friend Dave Dickens, or Dave Dickerson?
My friend was Dave Dickens, yes.
All right. Was, you believe, eaten by...
I don't believe, Bill, I would not call it eaten. I think that that bespeaks an aggression that I don't think was a part of the, or still is a part of the... Of the wildlife or the marine life in the Salton Sea, a place that I love very dearly. I believe what happened is that Dave surrendered to whatever this was. Are you saying it's a creature of some kind? I believe it was, yes, Mr. Santos. Jay Santos?
Yeah, Jay Santos.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Santos. I believe that it was. If you want to call it a creature, I think that sometimes leads us to believe we're speaking of some sort of a science fiction type of animal, and that's not the case here. Well, you said it was oversized enough to eat a man. It was oversized enough to eat a man, but I don't believe it was an aggressive
I don't believe it was aggressive. I believe Dave, who I had known, was depressed. And here again, Phil, we are getting into a part of the story that I suppose is personal. You know,
I've not heard any of this.
You had, well, you read the interview in the. Did you read the interview in the local in the San Bernardino paper?
No, I did not. Are you aware of any of this, Jay?
I'm afraid I'm not. Well, it was very big news here, but.
Tell me what happened to your friend Dave. We're talking about the Salton Sea, where you had a fishing camp for 2 years.
That's correct, yes. I want to ask gentlemen if I could, sir. Go right ahead. Was it Happy Fines? Happy Fine, that is the name that I go by, yeah. All right, Happy Fine Fishing Camp. Yeah, I am familiar with it just from reading up on different... doing my reading up, you know. You were reading up on the Salton Sea? I was actually reading up on some of the Bunco file of the San Bernardino County Sheriff and the Riverside Sheriff. Bunco file. Yes, sir. Well, what he's trying to say, Phil, I guess he's being polite, is that we did have a run-in with the Riverside County Sheriff, Bunco.
That's fraud.
That's correct, Phil, yeah. But I want to continue my story. We might as well get it out in the open now.
That would be a good idea.
All right. Well, we were using store-bought fish.
You were using store-bought fish?
That is correct, yes. So we would replace the fish, or sometimes when the individual wasn't looking, I don't want to get into a very... Hold on. Do you need to get that? Yeah, I need to get it, but I want to hear your story. I just was trying to be polite. I think you're avoiding telling a story, sir. No, I'm not going to avoid telling the story. We used store-bought Corvina. It's Corvina, Phil, not Corbina, by the way.
Okay, thank you.
That one's free, even though I am being forced into a posture of humiliation here. You get that one for free. Well, Mr. Henry, he's trying to act like he's giving you something for, you know, while you're go ahead, try and say that.
Humiliate.
Why did you give him the word, Mr. Henry? Because Mr. Henry's a kind man. Humiliate, right?
Yes, yes. And I think we're really beginning to, as we often do in the show, get sidetracked. Can we get back to the story here? So you were charged with Bunco. You were charged with some kind of fraud.
Bunco also, Phil, you have to understand, Bunco is also a chronic or ongoing con game. You know, I would tell you that I do. I don't agree with that description at all. You may not, but San Bernardino Sheriff do. And that may well be them.
All right. Enough of that. Your friend was eaten by this creature.
No. Okay. I don't use the word eat because it sounds aggressive. That is correct. Whatever this thing is, my friend Dave, who had been very depressed, and Dave had been so depressed that I believe he went to the southern edge that night of the Salton Sea, which is down near the old marina, and I believe he surrendered, which is what the natives called it. I believe Dave went into a surrender posture and offered himself up to this thing, whatever it is, because he couldn't stand it any longer. And that's exactly what his suicide note read. And that's also, by the way, Phil, what is required of anyone surrendering to the lake thing. And
with the lake thing, this thing...
Well, I'm giving it a name because you wanted me to give it a name.
But what is the thing he couldn't stand it anymore?
I remember the story, Phyllis. You've got to make... Wait a minute. Tell him to go. Tell him to... Yeah, tell him I want... Would somebody listen to me? Will you listen to me? Will you listen to me? I want you guys to stay there, okay? I want you to move. Don't even move. Don't move a muscle. Wait till I go. When I say you move, then you move. Go ahead. Oh, boy, you got yourself a regular... You're really playing cops and robbers over there, aren't you? Not playing, sir. I can assure you, stop playing.
All right, so anyway, he surrendered because he couldn't stand it any longer.
That is correct, yes.
To a monster from the lake.
I didn't say monster.
I'm sorry.
I didn't say monster. It's not a monster, sir. We understand. I didn't say monster either. I said he is a thing that is entitled to his own life as he sees fit.
Even if it means eating one of your friends.
Did I just tell you that he had surrendered himself to the... because he couldn't take it anymore?
So you go down to the southern edge of the Salton Sea and you surrender to something that is living in the water there and it consumes you, and this is all acceptable to you.
This is acceptable to anyone that believes in the regenerative effects and the regenerative license, if you will, of nature. Nature has a regeneration, and nature has the license to regenerate. Do you understand?
I'm not really. Hold on a minute. Jimmy, will you bump Spearman? You bump Lehman.
He bought what?
All right, thanks very much, Happy, because I got to get going, all right?
Yeah, well, people are left with the impression that I'm dumber than I'm crazier than a crap house rat, so that...
And we also have to go here, Jay, unless you want to hang on.
I will hang on, because I don't feel I got my... I didn't get my full fare, you know?
Well, this ain't a taxi cab. What do you mean? Your time on the show?
Yeah, that's time on the show, yeah. Hold on for a minute.
Welfare, you seen the welfare ring?
Keyword?
Story?
Will you get out of here with that? We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
What language is that?
It's English. I think it's English.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us, we have Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to continue talking to him about this bank robbery that took place today in Southern California and that eventually led police on a chase into Southern California. Part of this story has to do with the fact that the robbers threw money out of the window, and they threw money out of the escape vehicle. And eventually, this money found its way, obviously, onto the street and into the hands of people who I think very naturally, Jay, are going to want to go out and get some of the money.
Well, you know, Phil, it's an interesting story if you say, well, people won't get the money. I think that I expect a little bit more from citizens than that. I think I expect more from people than to run out in the street and grab money.
But it's money that's just flying out of a truck. Don't you think that that would be an instinct that you would have?
Well, if you say it's an instinct that I would have, certainly not, no.
You wouldn't run out there and try and grab some of that money?
No way. There's no way I would run out and try and grab some of that money and look like a fool. And what should have been done, if the Southern California Sheriff Station, or the LA County Sheriff was doing its job properly, and it's one of the reasons why Citizens Auxiliary Police was formed. Citizens Auxiliary Police was formed because we saw police doing things not exactly the way what it ought to be done, and we wanted to ensure that police work was at a very high level of credibility and a very high level of credulity, and we wanted to...
A high level of credulity.
Yeah, that's right. And we wanted to ensure that. So what I said today when I saw that, and I said it to Margot Jensen, and who's Todd Jensen's wife, and whoever's watching TV, Major Newton was there, and Major Newton was shocked, and that's why he said that we need to get down there, and we immediately need to at least start checking people for the money, you know. So I can't go up to the sheriff.
Did you guys go down to Los Angeles today and start checking people for any money that they might have picked up off the street?
Yes, we did. We had to do it in a way that was going to be, commensurate with the law. So any individual in that area that seemed to look like they had, what's the old saying, they looked like the cat that swallowed a canary. If they had kind of a smile on their face, like they know something I don't do, that I don't do, or they do something I don't know, or forget how it goes.
They know something that you don't know.
That's correct, sir. That's when we stopped them and said, how are you doing?
See, this comes into a thing, and we're talking with Jay Santos about money being thrown from a passing truck that was involved in a bank robbery. How do you get the money back from people that have picked it up off the street? And you say that you, first of all, notice anyone that looks like they're hiding something. What does someone who looks like they're hiding something look like?
Hold on. Where is that? Is that downtown? Is that downtown? I got to roll. I might have to roll, Phil, on a downtown call.
Yeah, okay. Does that mean the...
Well, we could take you with us, but... I'm sorry, Phil, would you ask a question again?
My question is, how do you said that you went down to L.A. today and you saw people who looked like they might be hiding something. Those are people that you think might have taken money off of the street from this bank robbery. What does someone who looks like they're hiding something look like?
Well, I think they have a... Well, you know what they look like. I think your audience listening tonight on a radio probably understand. They have a look on their face like a cat that's smaller than a canary. It's a look of... You know, man, I got it over on you, or I'm hiding something, or, you know, I got something stashed down, you know, I got something stashed down deep, and you don't know about it, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so in other words, it's just a look on a face.
That is correct, sir, yeah.
Okay, and so now, going by the look on the face, do you stop these people?
Yes, we do.
And how do you do that?
Well, we can say something, and we try to be as convivial as we can. We try to be as friendly as we can. We'll just say something like to them, how to do, you know, how do you do, or some sort of a phrase. Hold on. Can you turn that alarm off, Jerry? Turn the alarm off. I'm sorry, Phil.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the alarm in the back door. We'll say to them, how do you do, and, you know, are you coming from the area of that bank robbery where they was throwing the money? You know, did you pick up any of that money? Because if you did pick up any of that money, it makes you technically complicit in the robbing of that bank, which we know that you are not, and we know that you don't want to do that, or you wouldn't want to not do that, or however. And so, would you please give us the money back? And if they give you the story, and a lot of them will give you the story, I don't know what you're talking about, this kind of thing. And
what if they're telling the truth?
If they're telling the truth about what?
If they're telling, when they say to you, I don't know what you're talking about, what if they're telling the truth?
How could you be telling the truth when it's on, are you kidding? It was all on the TV. If you've seen it on the TV, it was right on the TV right there.
What if they weren't watching the TV? What if they were walking down?
Well, Phil, I don't deal with hypotheticals, what if. I mean, I've got to go on assumption that a bank robbery's taken place, that a great deal of money has been taken, and that it's been thrown out a window. And these people are walking down the street looking to scarf it up and make little cheese on the side. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I understand human nature and everything. But still in all, you have to give it up. So I'll say to them, you know, is that how we're going to play it? And they'll say, oh, wow, I don't know what you're talking about. I say, well, you want to play it that way, we'll play it that way. If you want to play it another way, we'll play it another way. You know, we play it any way you want to play it. Okay?
All right. Well, all of those nice things that police officers often say, we'll play it that way, and...
What do you mean, often say?
Because I've heard police officers say that. It's, you know, it's their way of saying, look, you know, all I want you to do is tell me the truth.
That is correct, yeah.
All right. So, that having been said, what if they still deny having picked up any of the money?
Well, and that's when we say to them, we want to effect a citizen's arrest on you, which means we can't really put you in handcuffs. We have to wait for another police officer to come and effectuate that. So we would like to just have a conversation with you. So see, that way they can't say that we're holding them. They can't say we're detaining them. And so we'll ask them, you know, oh, that's a nice purse. Where'd you get that purse? To get them into a conversation. At that time, I'll say, oh, can I look at your purse? Yeah. Well, or they may say no. And so why not? I'm just having a conversation, and that's when I'll grab it and look in it. And if I see any of them...
So right there is where I think you have committed a crime.
Well, no, wait. Phil, what do you mean?
Because I've been waiting here listening to you to find out how it is you detain people when you're not officially a police officer, and you just told me right there.
No. No, I did not tell you anything other than we're having a conversation.
When you grabbed the purse...
I didn't grab the purse. I said, that's a nice purse. Where'd you get it? I'm thinking about getting one for my wife. Is that Mexico? Did you get Mexico? And they'll say no. I said, well, can I just hear it? Let me just see the tag. So it's not really taking it from them. It's just saying, oh, wow, I just want to see the tag where it's made. And that's when you just open up slightly. If you see any greenbacks that are not in a wallet, you know you've got the person
what did it or what picked up the money.
Okay, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us here, 877-876-7445. Let me get on the line, Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California, this evening. Vernon, how are you doing, sir? What can we do for you? It was great having you on the show the other night.
Well, it was great being on your program. I'm listening to this gentleman from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I was wondering if this gentleman, in his travels and stopping people on the street and saying, you know, I want to look at your purse, if you wanted to find something to do that actually benefited people.
Well, sir, I think what I do, sir, does benefit people.
Well, I wanted to ask you if you've been in the Glendale area or you have been anywhere in the Burbank-Glendale area.
Yeah, from time to time, sir.
All right. We have a group of individuals out here who are part of a co-op who believe that farming or growing vegetables, growing fruit, growing anything that a human being might consume can be effectuated. There's a word that you use, sir, not me, you. All right, you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Can be effectuated by using human waste as fertilizer. Have you ever looked into that?
No, sir, I've not looked into that.
We're really not talking about that right now, okay? You know...
Well, hold on. Yes, we are talking about that right now because I just called in and I want to talk about that. You see?
I understand what you're saying, sir, but we're talking about something else. We're talking about the bank robbery.
No, I heard you talking about the bank robbery, and I'm calling this guy who claims to be a cop, asking if he's been in the Burbank Glendale area and smelled the stink that I smell every day when I get out of bed. And I can smell my neighbor fertilizing fruit trees with human waste. Human waste. Do you know what it smells like?
Well...
Whoa. I'm asking the gentleman.
Yes, me, sir.
Yes.
I know what human waste smells like.
I'm not talking about when you go to the toilet. I mean out there in an area of the world that should be clean and pure, a place that you can go out and take a deep breath. I tell my players, because I'm a coach, take a deep breath. Smell the world. Take in the world. Yeah, see? And you open the lungs that way. But when I go out back, and I've got a friend of mine who's reading Mother Jones...
Well, sir, I can't,
You can't what?
I can't do anything about the man's reading material or anything you're talking about.
I'm not asking you to, but the guy is reading magazines and the Farmer's Almanac and Mother Jones and I don't know what that one that helps you grow marijuana. You know that one, Mr. Henry, used to have the people on, didn't you?
I don't know the one you're talking about.
But in any event, they're out there, and they're fertilizing their fruit trees with human dung. And it stinks. The smell is malodorous. And I'm wondering if you're going to do anything about it, or you want to just go down and play games with a man. God.
Sir, right now, we have our forces are spread thin.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet you're spread thin. Yeah.
Our forces are spread thin. And right now, we're down South Central trying to get the bank money back.
Well, you're never going to get the bank money back. That's the L.A. County Sheriff job. Why don't you do something that you can do some good? Get out here to Glendale, take a deep breath right near my house, and then take a look at that hippie that comes out of his house every day to fertilize those trees, and know this. That guy made the stench that is now... I can't even talk to...
All right, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, you take your break. You do that, Mr. Henry. I'll be gone by the time you come back, okay?
No, sir, I'm asking you to hold on. I just need to take a break.
Yeah, okay, sure. Well, sir, I can tell you I've known Mr. Henry for a long time.
We'll be right back. 877-876-7445. This guy's talking about... What is the story, bud?
I don't know, that'd be a very interesting story about how a man goes out and you use a human waste.
Yes, that's really great, but we're talking about a bank robbery, okay?
Yeah, I mean, that guy's saying, instead of the bank robbery, you come up here and try to find out what that hippie is throwing all that dirty, like a dirty hippie do.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Oh, that's basically it. Thanks for describing that. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
I got this gentleman on the phone, Mr. Sharu. You can join us here. Sir, you live in Glendale?
I live in Glendale, right.
And do you live next to Mr. You understand you live next to Mr. Dozier?
That's my understanding, because he's the gentleman that has caused this problem.
You're Mr. Sharu, right?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm the man that you were, you know, that you were trying to incite yesterday morning.
I don't believe that I was trying to incite you, sir.
You were trying to incite me. You were applauding or playing some kind of applause from your house as we were using our night soil.
How was that trying to incite you?
Because that was mocking what my wife and I, with the efforts that we were making. And the applause grew louder as my wife and my daughter spread the night soil closer to your house.
Sir, I assumed that whatever was making that stench was created by your wife and daughter, and I don't mean anything by that.
You don't mean anything by that at all, but you, nonetheless, you recognize how insulting that is.
When your wife and daughter came and began spreading that dung near my window, my bedroom window, and I can't describe. God, I can't describe it.
Mr. Hendry, the host of the program?
Yes, sir.
Here's how this all began. When we had purchased these fruit trees from Yardley's, which is a nursery that was going out of business here in Glendale, and we purchased a half a dozen of these. They were apple trees. And I think there was a Santa Rosa plum tree. And we purchased these trees, we planted these trees, and we are, yes, avid readers of organic gardening and also bio-gardening. And the jury's out on the use of human waste matter for fertilizer. It's been tried in Oregon by the forestry department there. My understanding is they've had mixed results. And I don't understand the aesthetic of smell, fertilizer smells.
Fertilizer smells, sir, but human waste is a stink all its own, all right? And
what does that mean, a stink all its own?
I got to look at you. The problem here, Mr. Hendry, is this. When I smell it, I can see the people that created it, and it angers me. And
that's a psychological problem that you have, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you were a doctor. Are you a doctor of psychology?
No, I am not. You know very well that I'm a... You know very, very well that I'm...
Go ahead, say it.
I don't want to say it.
Then I'll say it. This guy, Mr. Hendry, is a... he's a guy that repairs lottery machines for the state of California, for want of a better way of
that's very, you know, I didn't feel like saying that.
Because it doesn't sound very hippie, does it?
No, you know, I'm quite done with this conversation.
Are you done with the conversation?
Done with the conversation, thank you, sir. And I'm sorry, but I doubt seriously that if I came into your home and walked into your bathroom after you used it, that it would smell any better than my fruit trees do.
It's your fruit trees that stink, sir. It's the, you know, it's what you're using to fertilize them. That's the thing that bothers me.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right, let me get Jay Santos. You back, Jay?
I've never gone anywhere, Mr. Hendry. I've been here. I've been waiting patiently to say what I want to say.
All right, well, what do you got to say?
Hey, who do you think you are, anyway? What do I got to say? You're not the host of the show.
I am your, I'm your host.
What do you mean you're my host?
You got a host now, and I'm him. Okay, I'm running this show. Now, I know Mr. Henry's running the show.
Yeah, that's right, I'm running the show. I don't know what you mean you're running the show.
As far as this guy goes, I said I'm the host, that's all.
No, I'm the host. I'm the host, and you got your question answered. You even got on the line there with your neighbor. Thank you very much, and we don't need any more out of you. And
So what you're saying is I've got a problem, and I'm a caller to a talk radio program, and I've got a problem where community problems are worked out, but I'm not allowed to say nothing. I'm not allowed to say nothing because you're bored and you're all done with the...
All right, thank you very much. 877-876-7445, Jay Santos back with us. I believe that Mr. Fine is gone, and we've just lost the Jay Santos line, so we're doing real good.
Yeah, I'll get him back if you want me to. I thought they were all done with the segment on account of the time of thing.
Say that again.
I said, I get him back. You want? You got that time?
Yeah, I'm fine with Uncle Ben.
What are you guys talking about, man? Take the gum out of your mouth.
It's good, man.
I don't care if it's that watermelon flavored. What is that crap?
Juicy-licious.
Juicy-licious. What did you say?
I said that I thought you was done with the segment and there's no more time to do it.
I'll be the guy that tells you that. You understand? Don't be hanging up on people until I say you hang up on them, and not a minute before. If I want to hang up on Mr. Santos, I will hang up on Mr. Santos, and it's not going to be... Now, what's that?
Colonel Jay Santos back here.
Okay, listen, did I ask you to come back? Did I ask you to bring him back?
Well, I can't. I call back.
Yeah, just put him on the line. You're yelling at me.
I was saying something to you. All right, Jay, look. The final comment is yours, but as a way of something for you to think about, you know, that guy, notwithstanding the fruit tree thing, how much money have you collected from this bank robbery?
Well, how much we have collected is not something that I want to really go into. It is something that we want to sort of keep close to the vest, but we have collected a substantial amount.
Well, four figures, five figures?
Well, it's not four figures, no. It was three figures. It's a low three figures. And
what?
I can tell you, but it was something we wanted to keep.
Go ahead.
$57. $57.
I thought you said low three figures.
Yes, sir.
5-7, that's two figures.
Well, there was change.
All right, thanks a lot, man. You know.
Okay, man. $57.03, okay?
That's four figures, according to you.
Oh, is it? Okay. God, Phil, you know, calm down, man, because when you start getting excited, you start to sound like a woman. Yeah.
Well, all right, Jay, I wish I sounded more like you, a guy who is almost swallowing his tongue every time he talks.
Yeah, that's dirty pooly.
Anyway, so it's he collected it in the low three figures, $57.03. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
That's how much we get paid around here.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, turn that down, too, and the air. Hey, welcome back, folks, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. And we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Couple of things, couple of bits of information for you. Number one, our podcasts resume tomorrow. I think it's episode 42 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast. That is at our website. Go to the homepage and hit Free Podcast. There it is. It's a beautiful thing. Number two, we will draw the winner of our one free year of backstage pass access next week. So some lucky person who has hashtag BSP and has also liked our fan page at Facebook, then you may be drawn and be the winner of our BSP. Also, get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com and have access to over 4,500 hours of great radio. Fantastic radio that is so good. We've got people that are, it's kind of like America. Our radio show is like the America of radio shows. People are crawling under ditches, swimming across the river, trying to get into the country of Phil. Even though we've put up border, we've had to put up border guards.
Yeah, we have too, man.
Yeah. You've had to take a shot at a few.
We have. We've had to take a shot at people. We've had to all kinds of stuff. They're crawling, they're scraping, they're trying their very best to get in, and only a select group are admitted as backstage pass members. So hopefully you quite... No, I'm just kidding about that, but it is a very... it's definitely a place that is unique, and not all... Let's put it this way. Not everybody is welcome. Some people are just... What?
Some people too lame.
Some people are too freaking lame to be a part of our backstage pass family. Thank you.
Yay!
Anyway, thank you, bud. So anyway, there's that, and one other thing that I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, the Milwaukee Lions. We're now going to feature a free podcast of Lion Archive games every now and again. Probably one a week during the football season, but we will now have a free Milwaukee Lion podcast, as well as all of the content of the Milwaukee Lions that is on our website right now. So it's all there for you at philhendryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass. All right, 877-876-7445 and online at philhenryshow.com. And let's see, we got a phone call to go to. Warren is on the line with us. Warren, how have you been? Warren Benman, how's it going, buddy?
Bill, it's good. And when you were saying some things, I wanted to take exception to.
What did I say?
If you said that, boy, it sounds like a badass. You know?
I never used that word, no.
I thought I told him to say that.
Florida smells like badass. What is that?
I heard you saying, I'm doing the breakup on it. You say that?
On Phil TV?
Yeah, on this time I got BSP.
You got a BSP? You're watching Phil TV?
Yeah.
I said, here's what I said.
No, don't you get out, because you don't think.
Where do you live? You live in Clearwater, right?
I live in Clearwater, Florida, yeah.
Okay. Warren, what I said was some guy made a comment in the story about California, L.A. smelling from the Salton Sea, and he said, wow, it must be the Mexicans, something like that. You know, typically stupid thing. And the guy said something about cooking meth. I said, dude, you live in Florida, man. How could anybody that lives in that state start bad-mouthing another state's smell?
Well, I just didn't think about Florida when you came down, when you came to Arizona.
I haven't smelt Arizona.
Arizona stinks like an open sewer. It stinks like open grave.
Arizona stinks like an open grave.
Oh, yeah. Because Arizona is just as bad as Florida.
Arizona? What do you mean Arizona is as bad as Florida? Why?
Because it's the main losers live there in Florida. The losers per capita, can you say that?
I didn't say the losers per capita, no. I didn't say there was as many losers per capita in Arizona as there are in Florida. I might have said something else disparaging about Florida having to do with their politics.
No, I don't think you did it. When you are insane, okay,
what is wrong with you, man?
What?
You sound... What is going on with you?
I told you, I fell off a tower.
Don't you remember when they called in and said I fell off a tower?
Yeah, that's the guy that hit every girder on the way down. Don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I used to work maintenance on the radio tower in Florida.
Yeah, you work maintenance on the radio towers in Florida, and you fell off of one.
That's correct, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay, now I remember the story. And you hit every girder on the way down.
Pretty much.
All right. Warren, I'm sorry, man. You're in a lot of ways, you're like our very good friend Bud here. You've suffered physical injury, but you're mentally...
Well, I'm fine, okay? Don't think that we should have the thing.
I don't know. What happened to you, man? Can you tell me?
What happened to me? I fell off the radio tower and hit every girder on the way down. Don't you hear too good?
Yeah, don't you hear too good?
I hear fine, man, but when you say you hit every girder on the way down, was it brain damage?
Oh, bingo, get the man a cigar and a light, too.
Okay,
give the man a cigar and a light, too.
I understand what he said. All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Warren. All right, so the comment that I made about Florida, I think, is accurate. I'm not taking it back.
Well, I think you're concerned a lot of people are family here. I'm not being fair, honey, you mean?
Yeah, he's getting upset.
I can hear him getting upset. What are you upset about? I worked in Florida. Hold on for just a minute, Warren, okay?
Oh, I know, but when you think you worked in construction.
Wait. I moved to Florida as a 19-year-old kid, and I went into the construction business, and that means you're getting up really early every morning, and I was on my way every morning through the early morning mist and dew and fog of Orlando, Florida, and it smelled like a toilet. I'm telling you right now. And the people used to say, oh, that's the swamp, and it's decaying. And, you know...
No, that's beautiful. That's nature, isn't it?
Well, it wasn't the swamp. It was all the septic tanks. Place smelled like someone's rear end, man. Same thing when I lived in Miami. No difference. I mean, there's nothing against Miami and nothing against Orlando or anything else. But don't give me the stuff about how, you know, stuff smells. If you live in Florida, don't start talking about how rancid somebody else's state. And that's one of the problems that Floridians have. A lot of the problems that the people in Florida have, people in Florida start sounding off about things, and they don't stop and take a look around where they live, you know?
Well, what's wrong with Florida, man? Guys, you know, you've been in California, people out there butchering your lives. Guys, you haven't done it in the state.
Well, it's people in Florida that will eat your face.
So, okay, one time. Not like I have it every day. But the other thing, what do you mean about Arizona anyway?
What's Arizona got to do with it?
You're banging on them.
So I was banging on them. So I said that Arizona's like, you know, the Florida west of the Mississippi, whatever.
Oh, my God.
So what is outrageous about that?
Well, why don't you go banging on them? You can start banging on me.
I'm not bagging on you. You're taking this real personal, man. That's your problem. You know?
No, I'm not taking anything personal. I'm just saying. Can't you say that? Can't you say that?
What?
Can't you say that?
What's he saying?
I don't know. I can't. What? Hey, Warren, bud, what are you saying?
I said, I'm not saying anything
personal. The key? Yeah. What's going on, man?
I can't see my nose.
He's got a nasal thing. He can't get past one. There's a consonant he can't do because of the nasal.
A consonant he can't do because of the nasal?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay to you, Mr. Henry. Okay? Are you there, Mr. Henry? Mr. Henry?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay. Just tell me. One thing to you. You're talking about the
You can't get past that one consonant.
What consonant?
I can't say the letter K.
K? Is that what he's trying to say?
Yeah, that's the letter.
Yeah, he can't say K.
Oh, horse dung. What do you mean you can't say K? I've been listening to you saying K. What's your sister's name?
My sister's name is K.
Okay, then why can't you pretend it's your sister?
Why, you dirty, silly bastard.
I'm not saying your sister smells like a toilet. I'm saying that if you can't say the letter K, then why don't you just think of your sister's name K so you can at least get the letter out?
Yeah, that's all he's saying, Warren. They talk about your sister smell like a Florida toilet.
Yeah, man, if anybody say my sister smell like a Florida toilet.
That's an old saying down here when you say the man's sister smells like a Florida toilet.
He said it's an old saying, you know.
I heard him. It's an old saying down here. Your sister smells like a Florida toilet. Bull crap.
I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you too, Mr. Henry. I wouldn't like golf game. Your golf game.
What about my golf game?
That's a way that a lot of times they have in Florida of putting people down.
Oh, will you come on and start speaking the English language? I got a better idea. How about talking like you come from the planet Earth, okay?
No, okay, great. Thanks a lot for naming, Jimmy. That's not even there.
Oh, you talk like a guy from Mars or something. I'm telling you right now that I meant nothing other than what I said. Florida's a beautiful place. I have a great many friends there, and I love them dearly, and I miss it. But I cannot let that comment go by. Some guy bagging on how California smells. Florida, the right time of day, man, and it would knock a buzzard right off the back end of a garbage truck.
You'll be knowing when you stand up.
Oh, threatening me, huh?
No, well, come down here. I hope the face zombie goes and gets you.
He just said he hopes the face zombie gets you.
Well, the face zombie ain't going to get me because he's dead, man. He's dead.
But he's a zombie. He's going to come back. One of those birds. Ka.
Think of your sister.
Ka.
Okay, never mind. Thank you very much.
No, I almost got it.
Gee, he almost spoke English there at the end.
Yeah, I heard that.
Warren Benman, who is a longtime fan of our show and fell off a broadcasting tower. He used to do the job of crawling up those things. And I don't know if you've ever seen it done. I have, and it will absolutely, if you have a fear of heights, it will absolutely give you vertigo, and you'll break out in a cold sweat even though you're standing on terra firma. There are guys that will climb up those big, tall broadcast towers and will clean, do maintenance on those big red beacons that are, by law, supposed to be on those towers. And those red beacons are there for aircraft, especially, obviously, at night. Aircraft, there was a time an aircraft would run afoul of those things and run into those. So they, by law, federal law, you have to have red lights on those. Any structure like that, buildings, anything. Warren would crawl up these things.
Yeah, he fell off.
And he fell off one day. And he hit, he just bounced, just bang, 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 all the way down, huh?
Yeah.
And he got out of the hospital, I don't know, 6-8 months later or something, and he's fine, but he talks like that. And that whole thing about how he can't say the letter K, his sister's name is K. They call her K, Kathy or Catherine, right?
Yeah.
So what is, I don't understand.
Well, if he can't say the letter K, like if he's going to say no.
If he was going to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, any other way of saying K.
Wait a minute, man. He can't say K because it's like K, right?
Yeah.
But so does that mean he can't say no?
Well, what does that mean, he can't say no?
You know what I mean, man. He can't say the word K-N-O-W?
No, he can't.
Oh, that's too weird for words. I can't.
But I don't understand.
Never mind. We'll be right back. It's the Phil Henry Show here. We've got our News and Information Hour. That's beautiful. News and Information Hour coming up. And don't forget, tomorrow is episode 42. I think it's 42. Would you look it up, bud?
Yeah, I'll look it up, Mr. Henry.
Thank you. Episode 42 of the free Phil Henry podcast.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Wait. I want to say I can say no, and oh, I can't say the other one.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, it's a wild thing, man. When you look at the stuff that people are afraid of, you know,
some people are afraid of some stuff, and they're not afraid of other stuff.
It's exactly. People that have no fear of heights, I have the greatest of admiration for. In fact, my son Alex, who works for me, and many of you know him if you're a backstage passer, Alex went skydiving the other day.
Did he go with a guy or something?
Yeah, he went with an instructor, right?
I think he did. But he went with his brother, Nick, and their buddies, and they went up here to Lompoc, and he was telling me about it today, because we had a meeting, and then we were driving back from lunch, and I said, what was that like? And he said, first of all, when I went out, I was nervous, man. I said, I got a fear of heights. He goes, well, I sort of do, too. And right there, I thought, well, man, you're a better man than me. You got a fear of heights, and you went ahead and did this. And it was probably kind of a cool, you know, how some people will do the very thing that they're afraid of to break the fear.
Yeah, that's what they said about G. Gordon Liddy on eating a rat.
He what?
G. Gordon Liddy ate a rat like that.
Yeah, supposedly G. Gordon Liddy ate a rat as a kid to break himself of the fear of rats.
Get out of here.
That's what he claims. That's what he claims in his book. G. Gordon Liddy, many of you know him as a talk show host, but G. Gordon Liddy was also a member of the plumbers unit that had been put together by the Nixon White House, an illegal unit engaged in illegal activity, but nonetheless a group of people that worked for the executive. And G. Gordon Liddy, before that, if I'm not mistaken, had been a member, had been in the employ of the CIA. And before that, had been a member of the U.S. military. So he was a tough dude. But a little on the wiggy side, man.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit on the wigged out side for a cat to eat a rat. But I'll tell you what. If he did that as a kid, I don't know if that's normal for a kid.
Well, you figure, man, like, he's doing a talk show and everything.
That don't necessarily mean he's sane. He's doing a talk show. Get him.
Yeah, but see, I mean, he could still be crazy. I mean, he's smart, you know.
What are you saying, man?
I'm saying I'm trying to agree with you.
Then I'll do it. I'm saying he's doing a talk show. Yeah, I know what he's saying, but he's weird.
Are you saying he does a bad talk show? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I agree with that. He's a nice guy, I'm sure. I've never met the man. I think I almost did meet him in New York when we were doing a talk radio panel. I almost met him, but his show sucks. But that doesn't matter in radio. All right. So who do we have here now?
Well, we're gonna get that guy on the line.
Oh, I don't know if this is Jerry Gray or not. This is a gentleman that we know who works in the entertainment business. I was talking about my son skydiving, Jerry.
I know, I heard that, and I can't do that either. I tried. I went up to Lake Elsinore, which is your son went to Lompoc.
Yeah.
Lake Elsinore has the skydiving classes. They also have the aircraft where you can solo if you want. You can also go up with a teacher if you want. And I tried solo. Actually, I tried going off with a teacher at the 8,000-foot level. They have 8,000, 10,000, and 12, and then 18,000. And I can still remember screaming as I went out the window, out the door.
You screamed?
Oh, yes, because as soon as I went out the open hatch there on the side of this very light aircraft that they have you in, I began to scream. And I didn't stop screaming until they had...
literally brought me out of it. I was screaming after I'd hit the ground, and I'd gone into a...
He went into a fecal position.
Not a fecal position. You mean a fetal?
In a fetal position. Who is that?
Bud.
Can I not talk with him or have him anywhere near this conversation, if you don't mind?
Bud, just keep quiet, okay?
Yep.
Could I not talk with him or have him anywhere near this conversation, if you don't mind?
All right.
Yeah, Bud, just shut up. So go ahead, Tony.
All right, so... did you call me Tony?
I'm sorry, I was just thinking of Tony... Jerry, I'm sorry.
Why did you call me Tony?
I was thinking of and talking about Tony Scott before we got under the,
You know what? I thought that's what you were thinking of, because I was thinking of him, too.
It just... You know why? Because of the way he died. He was going up that cable.
He went up that cable the same way they do maintenance on the Golden Gate Bridge, and people that saw him said that he went up that cable with a determination and with a presence of mind. They thought he was actually working on... some sort of a maintenance crew, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this, Phil. I jumped out of that airplane, and I screamed. I hit the ground. I rolled into a fetal position and kept screaming until someone came along. And I think that when someone is having this hysteria, the best thing to do is to try to bring them out of it. But when someone came along with a bucket, and it wasn't full of water, it didn't have ice, it was the bucket, and they had hoped there was water in it, but they wound up hitting me with a bucket, with an empty bucket. They hit me, and it brought on just a very light concussion. So I was in the hospital for the next 3 hours with that. That did stop the screaming, but then they had to begin to administer antidepressants as well as antipsychotics, because they were afraid that the injury, the concussion... because I was apparently now not screaming, but I was talking incessantly, almost like Dutch Schultz's last words, you know.
Boy, this is a hell of a story. You jumped out of an airplane.
That's exactly right.
Probably the last thing you should have done.
Well, I'm thinking of doing it again.
Why would you do that again, man, when you jump out and you screamed all the way down, you screamed after you hit the ground, you kept on screaming while you rolled into a fetal position... You stop streaming when they hit you with a bucket, but now you've got a concussion, and now you're babbling like Dutch Schultz.
Well, it's a memorable experience. Obviously, I'm not trying to be funny.
It sounds to me like that is not a good experience for you at all. It sounds to me like it brings on some kind of a psychosis.
Well, let's not get dramatic, Phil. You're not a doctor, and I'm not Joanne Woodward in The Three Faces of Me. I jumped out of an airplane,
Phil,
you ass.
I got to tell you something. This whole anti-Muhammad film thing always strikes me, you know, it always gets me pissed off because, you know, I saw firsthand the reaction of the media in America to the Muhammad cartoons. It was really a disgrace. It was a disgraceful thing to, you know, do I think it's cool to, let's forget about Muhammad. When I see people mocking Jesus, What does that do to me? Well, how do I feel about that? Am I a really religious guy? No. I mean, I'm not. I was raised Catholic, and I was and that was the religion that I was brought up in, Roman Catholicism, and we went to Mass. And throughout my life, I automatically went to a sort of prayer thing, I guess, because that's how I was trained. I would think of God. Did it hang me up? Not really. I mean, was I all ashamed because I believed in God? No. I mean, did it mess with my freedom of thought? Did I still have sex with girls outside of marriage? Did I do crazy things? Yes, 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 yes. All of it, yes. And did I feel guilty? Well, yeah, I felt guilty, but not necessarily in the eyes of God. I felt guilty sometimes about the people I screwed over, or maybe what I did to my own body, or maybe what I did to my own sense of what's right and wrong, you know? I mean, and I do have a sense of what's right and wrong. Is it based on God? Not anymore, because I realize that the way the human race came about, the way the human race found its way to morality is from its experience, you know. Oh, that works. Not having people kill, that works. Well, what do you mean? It means if we have a law that says nobody kills, that means no one's running around killing. You know, see what I'm saying? When Muhammad came down, or not Muhammad, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, I believe it was him saying, here's what we've learned. Don't kill. Don't covet. You know, right? Yeah, that's pretty good. It works good. All of this stuff is based upon man's experience with what works and what doesn't work. I know it's probably blasphemous to say it because people will say, that's wrong, Phil. That was the word of God. That's what we're taught. Okay, fine. You can believe what you want to believe. However, keep this in mind. What I'm saying comes from the mouth of a guy that is fine with the concept of God and, in fact, believes in a law, universal law. I do. You may think that what I'm saying is misinterpreting it. Whatever, I don't care. And if you get angry at me for making an earnest attempt at understanding the world around me, then there's something really messed up about you, and I suggest big, big doses of drugs and hospitalization, okay? I don't feel guilty at all. I don't mock religion. I mock the institutions. So now we come to Phil Hendry, and let's talk about Jesus. Forget about Muhammad for a moment. Does it piss me off when I see people making these garish, outlandish, outrageous, satirical representations, shall we say, or references to Jesus? Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes I see it as like way over the top, not necessary, been there, done that, already seen it. I'm a child of the 60s in a lot of ways, although I'm a younger member of that generation. But I remember when art really was, quote, telling it like it is, in the words of Howard Cosell, and there wasn't anything that you didn't see, you know. Virgin Mary being, pictured as a slut and a whore. Jesus being pictured as a drug user. I mean, all kinds of stuff. But that's America. That's my country. And while there's freedom to practice that religion, there's freedom to comment on it. So I'm all right. Because if there's one thing I know about my country, it was based in law. It was not started to honor religion. It was started to honor the law. That's the best thing about this country. Law is everything. Religion takes a back seat. Whether you don't believe that or not, I don't care whether you believe it or not, because somebody somewhere, somehow is going to sit you down and explain it to you. Or if there are people that want to go this route, there are the religious, you know, zealots who want to go out with guns blazing because they think this is God's kingdom, blah, 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 blah. They always run afoul of the law. They run afoul of, wait a second, now we have a law here that says, what's my religion? Your religion doesn't give you the right to deny a child medical aid. You understand that? That's my child. I'll do what I want. No, you won't. Not in this country, you won't. But it's freedom, my freedom, not your freedom to kill a kid because of your religion. No, I thought we had religious freedom. You don't have religious freedom when it comes to torturing or sacrificing animals. You don't have religious freedom when it comes to giving children drugs, or and there are religions that propose that, or having sex with children, or having or not allowing a child. And the reason why I'm bringing up children, it's obvious, not because I want to use them to manipulate your feelings, because they are have to be protected if they're around adults that don't have any good sense. If they're around adults that are endangering them in the name of religion, they got somebody's got to step in and say, wait a second. You know.
Yeah, what about a lady spanking her kid in a supermarket and stuff?
Yeah.
A lady spanking her kid in a supermarket? What's that got to do with religion?
Well, you talk about like abusing a kid.
Somebody's beating their kid and it looks overboard. I mean, it's up to the city. It's up to the individual who sees it. But, you know, if it looks like she's really wailing on this kid, I mean, to the point where there's injury, yeah, you should step in. You better believe it. Yes. Just because somebody had a kid, just because I gave birth to this kid. Do you understand that there are people that do that every day that use those children for sex? They use those children, they beat on them. They pass them around to their friends. They use them as veritable domestic slaves and so. Being a mother or a father doesn't give you a right to much of anything other than it gives you the right to do what you ought to do anyway, which is to take care of that child, feed them, clothe them, and make sure that they're safe. And if you've got any decency, try to give them some guidance as to how to make it into this world. Beyond that, that's not even a right. That's your responsibility. I don't know, when you talk about rights, what do you mean rights?
Well, the rights to elect through the kid.
What rights to the kid? If you're a parent, tell me, what rights do you have? I want to know. Yeah, this is a very interesting. Rights to do what?
You can decide where the kid goes to school.
Okay, you can decide where the kid goes to school. Maybe you can decide what the kid wears. Maybe you can decide what the kid eats for dinner. But I don't know what kind of right that is. You can decide what kind of religion you want to teach the child. But I'll tell you this much. When the kid turns 18 and the kid says, thanks very much for the religious tutelage, Mom and Dad, but you can take it and stick it because I don't believe in God. What do you think of that? You better just be prepared to suck on that one, because there isn't anything you can do about it. I heard somebody say once that if you've done your job as a parent, that child leaves and never has to return. I didn't say they never return. They return to see you, to be your friend, to love you, but they don't have to come back to the nest. They don't get injured out there and have to return if you've done your job.
I don't know, man. That made a lot of people sound like, you know, they're on a bad job, you know.
Like who?
What about my aunt?
What about your aunt? You've got cousins. Are they all living at home?
I don't know. My cousin ML's jacked up, you know.
The guy that's jacked up is you, man.
Yeah, you're still sleeping on the couch there.
Wait a minute, man. I pay my room and board and everything. You can't say I'm all jacked up on account of that. How dare you say that?
Get Mavis on the line.
No, man. Don't get Mavis. Come on, man. That's not fair.
No, I'm going to get her on the phone and I'm going to ask her. Your aunt, you're telling me that she what? She messed up?
I'm saying that's what you're saying about my aunt.
No, I'm not saying that about your aunt. I'm saying that if you've done a good job, then the kids go out and they don't have to come home because they know how to deal in the world. They know how to get by in the world, okay? Hey, Mavis. Mavis?
I heard what Robert said. I want to tell you something, Robert, okay?
Did you hear our conversation?
Yes, I did. I want to tell you something. Are you there, Robert?
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right. ML, I love my boy. All right. You know I love ML. You know that.
Yeah, I know. You treat him good, too.
All right. Mr. Henry is not saying anything bad. He's simply saying this. ML is a good boy. He works very, very hard. And I think someday he's going to make a lot of himself. All right? But he goes out of the house. I think he's a brilliant man, too, Mr. Henry, my son, ML, you know.
You say brilliant?
I do think he's brilliant.
You talk about him being brilliant. Ha, ha, ha. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Let me just say something right now. You got to hold your tongue, because I got stories I could tell on you. And
oh, you don't tell a story on me. And
Hold on. My son, ML, what Robert's referring to, my son, ML, he'll go out of the house at least once a day. Not once a day. He come out of the house probably twice a week with no pants on. He has on his shoes. He has on his sock. He has on a bun hugger. Is that what you call it, Robert?
Yeah, put on his briefs, yeah. And he don't have no pants.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. And
wait a minute. Well, your son?
Let me tell a story, you dumbass. Because you know something? Every time you start running your mouth, you know.
I'm just trying to tell Mr. Henry what has happened.
I'm going to tell. My son, ML, has a scholarship to MIT. Did you tell Mr. Henry that?
No, no.
MIT?
Oh, yeah. He is brilliant, Mr. Henry. He has a scholarship to MIT. He did not want to take advantage of it the first year because he wanted to stay and make sure that his mother is all right, me. That's the kind of wonderful son I have.
Oh, that's very, very kind.
Yeah, I think he's afraid of leaving his mama, you know.
Would you do me a favor and please stick something in your mouth, even if it violates God's law? Yes, you heard me right. Stick something in your mouth, even if it violates the law of God.
All right. Hey, wait a second. You talking...
All right. So he's... When does he go to MIT?
Well, he's supposed to start next fall. He's going to stay here. But he is a brilliant young man. He has worked on different engineering, what you call schematic, you know, for a company here in Los Angeles while he is getting ready to go. But he is so brilliant, and he is his head in the clouds, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you, his head's in the clouds. His head ought to be down around where his butt is, because it's not covered up with a pant, you know?
Yeah, the guy could be brilliant, but...
Excuse me, Porky? Is that Porky Pig?
My name isn't Porky Pig. I'm Bud Dickman.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, Bud. I'm sorry. Pug. I mean, Porky. I mean, Bud. I just want...
You know, that's not fair. And
well, it is fair if you're talking about my son, ML, have to go out of the house with his head down around his bun. He got to have his head down around... The only two idiots that have their head down around their butt is you. The two of you. So
I just want to be clear here, Mavis.
Yeah, my name is Mavis, not ML. Wow.
Woo!
I told you.
I'm sorry, Phil. Go ahead.
All right. I'm tired. All right. Look. So ML's going to MIT. He leaves the house twice a week,
minimum,
without any pants on.
That's correct. And that's what Robert making a big thing out of. And that's what everybody want to make a big thing out of my son ML. He is a very brilliant man, but he gets to thinking about things so much that he'll walk out the house wearing wingtips, dress socks, bun huggers, a dress shirt, a sports jacket, a tie, cufflinks, everything, but no pants.
No slacks.
Yeah, the bottom half of the suit's gone.
All right, somehow Jay's background...
I'm over at Jay Santos now. I'm borrowing, you know, a cigarette.
Okay, well,
shouldn't smoke, honey.
And there's a whole lot I shouldn't do. Like, I shouldn't throw your ass out, but maybe I will. Then again, I shouldn't let you live here, but then maybe I will. See?
Same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
All right, thank you very much, Mavis. We'll be right back. We got to take a break. We are running late, bud. Why don't you tell me?
Because I want to find out about ML. Why not have a pant on?
Pants, pants, not pant. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show leaves the house without
truth
pants.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Call a guy like that smart? I don't. But...
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Anyway, I'm looking at this article as I tried to start it out. I don't know how the hell we got sidetracked. I guess we were talking about your mom, huh?
No, I'm talking about my aunt.
Oh, you're talking about your aunt, yeah. And that really, whatever. So we found out that she raises her kids good. We were talking about religious training of children. That was it. And it all is getting back to this so-called anti-Muhammad movie. And I get it about people being angry when their religion's attacked. I do. I understand. In America especially, in America where, frankly, we're educated in the ways of free speech and in the ways of free expression, we're taught from a very early age that because someone expresses an odious idea, it is their right, and the idea itself will speak for itself. If it's one that works and makes sense and is logical and is and draws people, then you can't... There's nothing you can do to fight it. If it's an idea that is truly an odious thing and one that people are repelled by, then it does its own work that way. So we should never be afraid. We should never be afraid of ideas. But we certainly have the right, as the Supreme Court itself has said, we certainly have the right to regulate speech where it's being said. For instance, fire in a crowded theater, that was the famous test of free speech in the Supreme Court. Can you yell fire in a crowded theater? That is an endangering act that can put people at risk. Now, the arguments being made here by this author of this article that the U.S. military has said to people like this guy Jones in Florida, this pastor who was going to set fire to the Quran and is now endorsing this anti-Muhammad movie... The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, called Jones on Wednesday to ask him to stop promoting the film. Clearly the military, and I'm quoting the article, clearly the military considers the film a serious threat to national security. If the military takes it seriously, there should be consequences for putting American lives at risk. Now, that's all well and good. However, what the author of this article does not even begin to take into consideration are the actions every day of normal Americans opposing war, for instance, that may put lives at risk. So what this woman is asking for, this author, Althea Butler, is a kind of regulated speech in wartime that most anti-war activists have fought tooth and nail for generations, which is, I have the right to protest this war. I have the right, in fact, to my speech, regardless of the consequences to American soldiers. That's been the argument during wartime. I got the right to say what I want to say. This guy Jones is coming at it from a different angle, but nonetheless, it's the same. He's saying, well, I think these people, these Mohammedans, these Islamists, these fascist Islamists, are, or maybe he just thinks Muslims suck, and he wants to say that Muslims suck, and I hate them. And a guy comes to him and says, would you please not do that? It's endangering American lives. Well, that's too bad. Now, I don't know that he said that, but that has, in the past, that has been said by people who have something to say about either America's enemies or America itself in its fighting of the war. Don't say that. You're endangering American lives. He would very easily say back, you can't regulate my speech just because we're at war. And this butler, this woman who wrote this article, who is a associate professor of religious studies at the University of Pennsylvania, is endorsing the military in this case, regulating speech. Now, I don't like these guys. I don't like this guy, Terry Jones. I think he's a bigot. I don't like him at all. I don't like anybody that's stupid when it comes to religion. And I've had a lot of friends of mine talking about Islam. And I say friends, these are professional friends of mine who have sent around emails talking about Islam being a gutter religion, a dirty religion. They're talking about Islam the way a lot of neo-Nazis talk about Judaism, a gutter religion, a dirty religion, so on and so forth. They talk, no difference. No difference the way they're talking about Islam than the rest. However, here's where I am not digging what this person is saying. When the First Amendment right to free expression is important, while she says it is important, it's also important to remember that other countries and cultures do not have to understand or respect our right. And then she followed, my condolences and prayers go out to the families of the U.S. Embassy employees killed in Libya. That's a very, very cynical and weak way to end that article. Because essentially what she's saying is this. The First Amendment right to free expression, does not extend to other countries. They don't have to respect that. That means they get to kill us. Is that what you're saying? No, Mr. Henry, I can hear her now. No, Mr. Henry, I didn't say that. Well, what are you saying? What are you saying? You're saying, watch what I say, right? Yes. In the borders of my own country, watch what I say. Because I might piss off some guy in Libya who will murder my ambassador. So watch what I say. And it's the same thing that happened with the Muhammad cartoons. The entire information and communications and entertainment infrastructure of the United States is saying to me, watch your tongue. You don't want to get people killed. You might as well be living in a totalitarian police state where they say the exact same thing. Watch what you say. You're going to get people in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I mean, that's cowardice. Plain and simple, you know?
Buddy, you're getting all heavy for him, man.
Yeah, there you go again.
What do you mean? Well...
Yeah, getting all heavy, talking about heavy stuff. Nobody cares.
What do you mean nobody cares?
Nobody cares, man. They don't even understand what you're saying. You're talking all this stuff, no one even understands what you're saying, man.
I just made it very clear to them.
No, nobody understands what you're saying.
Phil,
the stuff you're saying, nobody understands.
Yeah, you like a turn?
Famous Bill Henry Show.
Way to do it.
I got a head start on typing the show log. I know you guys do it, but I want it to get a little faster.
You're doing a show log?
Yes, we have a show log, folks, for our website, philhenryshow.com. After the show, you can go to our website and you can see the show log and you can see what the hell it was that we talked about on the show. And like that. And then, of course, our every show is delivered to your, if you're a member of our Backstage Pass family. Every show that we do is a podcast that is delivered directly to your device, if you'll pardon the expression, device.
Yeah. That does sound kind of weird.
No, it doesn't. I'm just joking. God.
Well, why'd you say that then?
I'm joking, man. I'm joking, okay? It isn't weird. Only in your minds. Anyway, it is delivered to your device and then you'll be able to hear it. So get your backstage pass. Get it now. Also tomorrow, episode 42 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. And that's available at philhendryshow.com as well. Hit the podcast banner or at iTunes. If you want to go over to iTunes, you can dig it over there. What else is happening here, man?
Well, you're talking about how Muslims and everything like that.
I ain't got nothing more to say about Muslims, okay? I'm done. I'm finished. I ain't got nothing more to say about any of that jazz. It pisses me off. You know, these people, man, you don't see when you talk about, wow, you're endangering the military. It's the same people who now, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand, you know, I agree, don't endanger the military. But why don't you have that same attitude, let's say, when there's a Republican in the White House? You afraid of endangering the military then? Not much. I mean, there's people who are, like, doing everything to degrade and endanger the military. But what I'm saying is there's a certain school of thought, liberal school of thought, that today is suddenly very pro-military. But when a Republican was in the White House, you cats were out trying to shut down the Marine Corps recruiting office up in Berkeley, among other things. As soon as the war in Iraq started, we heard baby killer bull. All this freaking Vietnam stuff started coming up by these blog writers who, oh, God, the most obvious and simple-minded bastards in the world who didn't get their fair share of the anti-Vietnam party, so they wanted to get it going again, and they start, forget it, man. I'm going down the same road, you know.
Yeah, it's the same thing you did, man. Same thing you did, man. And people got to be all pissed off at you and all that stuff like that.
Who the hell's that?
David.
What do you want?
What do I want? Oh, man, listen. Well, you want me to hang up?
What do you want?
I called up to say what Bud had just said to you, that's all. And
which is what? That I'm going down the same road?
You're going down your political anti... You know, people get... They don't like it. They want you to just keep doing funny. Oh, God, man. Coming, jumping down my throat.
Well, you know something, David? I'm getting tired sometimes of you calling up. I put you on the air as a courtesy.
I understand that. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful. There are times, though, that I have to be heard because I'm out there doing battle.
You're doing battle doing what?
Doing battle doing what? I'm out there trying to get advertisers and affiliates.
Oh, is that what you're doing? I wondered, man, because I don't... The only time I ever hear from you is when you got a bitch about something. I don't know what you're doing, man. I ain't making any more money.
Well, I'm sorry. It's a tough economy.
Oh, it's a tough economy, yeah.
Oh, are you going to start giving me your dad's speech?
That's right. That's right. It's a tough economy, huh? Yeah, it's tough all over, man. You know, the only thing I've ever bitched about, really and truly, is you guys not getting out there and pitching and making some money for this show.
I'm trying, okay?
It ain't good enough. I'll tell you what. If I really had the juice, I'd fire your ass. I'd fire everybody. I'd start all over again.
Well, get you, man. You got no problem putting a guy out the street.
I got no problem putting a guy in the street. I don't care what the economy is if he ain't getting the job done. I got no problem with that at all. Not at all. Especially when they walk around like they're you-know-what doesn't smell.
Well, you know, Mr. Hendry, sir, I'm sorry that I, called, sir, and I...
Thank you.
Wow, man. Are you hanging up on him like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what I did. And he's right. You know what? He's right. You guys are right. He didn't have to give me a speech. I don't want to go down the political road, you know.
Yeah, it's death, man.
It's dead. You know, it's just, I hate it. I hate doing it. I hate it. Because I sound like every other stupid bastard that has a talk show talking about the liberals this and the conservatives that. Whatever, man. You know what? I don't care. Go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. But I do reserve the right to get up in the morning and hawk a really fat green loogie right off of the balcony of my house as the parade goes by onto the head of some of these people. Okay?
Oh, man. God, you didn't just say that, did you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. As the parade goes by, I'm going to walk out just...
Ow, man!
I didn't even really spit, bud.
Oh.
God!
Oh, I freaked you out, man.
I'm telling you, I do. And I will. I guess, you know, you got to be able to express yourself somehow. I guess I'm going to be you know, going down that juvenile road. So anyway, this is one of the longest promos for the log, the show log on our homepage, but that's what we do. So check out our show log on our homepage at philhendryshow.com as soon as you get off the, as soon as I get off the air, or as soon as you get off. Now then.
Wow.
All right. What the hell is this, man? 7 hours ago, Octomom's porn money got her a house.
Yeah, see that? I just seen that, and I thought I'd probably, you know, Xerox it off.
Yeah, thanks, bud. Let me just look at this thing. Octomom is, as you know, one of the more unbelievably revolting people, and I'm not really sure why. I know that she's had a lot of babies, and I think it's because of just this, there's a sort of a slime that goes along with her. I don't know what it is, man. And, of course, this, you know, we don't dig it when someone has, like, 9,000 kids and, oh, you mean I got to feed it? Yeah, well, how do I do that? Money? Well, I'm not so sure that I have the money. Well, then why do you have all these kids again? I love kids. I love being a mom. Right, so we're back to square one? Right. Octomom's porn money got her a house. TMZ reports after multiple rejections from landlords, Octomom and her 14 kids have finally secured a new place to live, and TMZ has learned she's paying for her new digs with porn power. Sources tell us Nadia Suleiman's new hatchery is located in Palmdale, California, and according to the listing, it features 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, 3-car garage, and a massive 14,000-square-foot backyard where she can pasture her children. God, this is kind of a cruel thing, isn't it?
What?
Pasture her children?
Well, they're talking about like they're the farm, you know, the farm creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what they're referring to, bud. I just think it's rather insulting. Anyway, the entire place is only running her $21.50 a month. Gotta love backcountry California. Well, first of all, well, I'll finish reading this. California, we're told Octomom dropped 8 months' rent in advance to secure the place, plus a giant deposit, and most of the cash came from her solo blankety-blank-blank-blank video. Wow, really? She's got one of those, huh?
Yeah, I'm on order.
Yeah, here's my credit. Oh, we're on the air. Hi, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Now, the only problem that I may have, and I don't have the problem yet, but I could have the problem, is this story an old story? I guess not. Okay. Is this a story that goes back in time? Is this a story from, you know, the, what's the date on this story, man? Because I'm really going to cry if it's an old one. I think it's new. It was posted today, the 12th of September. 8/25, so it's from the 25th. All right, it's a couple of weeks. But she's been rejected. 8/25 was the story of her being rejected by all of these homes. But the fact that she had done a solo blankety-blank...
Well, man, you say solo, everybody got to pretty much know what it is you talk about.
Well, let them then go ahead and know, okay? Because I ain't going to say the word. No way.
What, masturbation?
What did I just get...
Ben?
What? What did I do? What did you do? I just told you don't say the word, you idiot. God, man, you know something, bud? You're so dumb. Some days I feel like I need to kill you to save you from yourself. That's how dumb you are.
Hey, what'd I do?
I told you I didn't want to say the word, didn't I? You know, one of these days, man, I'm going to put you in a bag. I'm going to weight it down with cement blocks. I'm going to throw it in a river, and I'm going to turn around, and you'll be standing there right behind me.
How am I going to be able to do that?
I don't know, but you're dumb enough to be able to do it. I said I didn't want to say the word, and there you are.
Well, is it okay if I say it now?
No, it's not. We said it. There it is. Octomom is persona non grata in the world. Look, for those of you, look, the woman's got a $2,100 a month house. She went out. She got a job. She earned money. And she, so what's the beef, huh?
Yeah, but the way she done it, it is immoral.
Oh, well. Goodness gracious. People said to her, go get a job, didn't they? They said to her, go on out there and start kicking some ass, right? You know, you got all these kids, let's get some money.
Yeah, you was just saying it.
That's exactly what I was saying. So she did. And she did it in an entirely legal way. And she did it probably the only way she knew how. I don't know what the hell else is she going to do, man. Has this woman got a degree in anything? Is she a, what is she?
I think she does, yes, indeed, she does have a degree.
Yeah.
What degree has she got?
What is it?
I think it's in engineering.
Engineering?
Yeah.
And where did you get that information?
Well, it's in the news or anything.
Yeah.
What are you saying yeah for, Robert?
Well, I don't know, but that's what he told me.
I believe it is. Yeah, I believe it's in chemical, or not chemical, structural engineering.
What kind of horse dung are you feeding me, man?
I don't know. Just, why can't it be?
Listen, I'm going to hurt somebody real bad, man. I'm going to hurt someone real bad, God, unless you know.
All right, you want me to leave?
I'm going to hurt you bad if you don't. What are you doing sitting there going, yeah, for?
But I was just thinking, man, it's probably possible. I'm just saying possible that she has a degree in structural engineering.
This solo mom, this octomom, huh?
You just called her solo mom.
All right, you know what? We ought to call her solo mom. We're going to start calling her Nadia Solo Mom in honor of her solo video, and don't say it. And I say that if she's made money that way, it's legal, she's taken care of the kids. Let me say something, folks, and I say this with the greatest of respect. Palmdale ain't exactly what you call upper crust, okay? Palmdale is in northern L.A. County. It's on the edge of the desert. Yes, there's an awful lot of home building that's gone on up there. A lot of homes were built, and a lot of homes probably sit empty as the result of this most recent unfortunate turn of events, economy-wise. But there's a lot of homes that are up there on the very edges of the L.A. suburban sprawl. And no doubt they are big and beautiful and marvelous houses. They're probably not in any kind of Bobby Dooley-style gated community. They're probably in some, you know, there's probably a whole lot of road dust, man, if you know what I'm saying. And so she went out. She got herself a house. She's got it big enough for the kids. They got five bedrooms. Boom, 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 boom. What the hell do you want, you know?
No, I ain't saying nothing, man.
Oh, you guys, well, he was weighing in. What do you want?
Can I come back?
Yeah, sit down. She's got a degree in chemical engineering.
I said maybe.
Yeah, based on what we don't know. We're told Octo's agent. Now, here it is. The first TMZ reported Octo needs a new house to stash her 14-kid brood because her old house is being foreclosed, which means she owned it. Now she's renting. Sources close to Octo tell us she recently found a house in Orange County to rent for $2,700. The owner rejected her application outright, even though she sweetened the pot and offered to pay 7 months' rent up front. We're told Octo's agent asked why the homeowners weren't down with Octo occupying their crib, and their real estate agent replied, Jesus, you people at TMZ are just too cool for the room. It's just so great reading your news, and I'm so excited to read your news because it's hip and cool, and it uses all the modern lingo and everything like that there. The only problem is, man, actually reading it so people understand it, you know, I really want to get some information, it ain't too good. So would you mind taking your news, TMZ, rewriting it, and then stuffing it with three fingers right back up you-know-where? Thank you. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here and philhendryshow.com.
Woo-hoo! Truth is our bitch.
Good and plenty.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, use three fingers to park it.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Camera one working. For those of you who are BSP backstage passers, you can see our camera one is working. I Elaine was here, and we had a problem. We have three cameras here in the studio. One is the one that I just showed you. One is a shot from behind me where you can actually see the broadcast setup. You see our computers. You see our a little bit of our TriCaster computer. You see a little bit of the TV monitors overhead. You see a whole lot of my bald head. And you see Buddy Bear's Packer helmet.
Yeah, Buddy Bear is still sitting back there.
Yeah, well, Buddy likes it there. But Buddy also wants to sit down here. But Ted, he don't dig that, you know.
Yeah, Ted the Bear wants to sit down here.
Ted the Bear wants to sit here. And Ted makes the big closing appearance during the national anthem as well. All right. So, and then, of course, we have our straight-on shot here from the El Pacifico. Behind me is the surf. Reminder that tomorrow drops episode 42 of the Free Phil Hendry podcast. This is a free clip from our archives. what we consider to be the greatest radio show ever. And you can enjoy that, the free Phil Hendry podcast. And we will be starting very soon as well a free Milwaukee Lion podcast that will feature either highlights or full games from the archives going way back to the old days there of the Milwaukee Lions with Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison. So that's going to be available very shortly. Get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com and enjoy life maybe for the very first time. All right, enough about Octomom. Are we all done with that bullcrap?
Yeah, that's pretty sickening.
Yeah, it is very sickening. Although I will say again, if the woman is earning money for her kids, give it a rest, okay? At TMZ, try this. This is an idea for entertainment reporters. A little less trying to fit in with the very people that you report on. You know, they're never going to have any real respect for you. They think you're a scum-sucking vultures. And so talking about, hey, you know, Octomom's pasture and all of that jazz, I don't know. I don't know if anyone really, you know, wants to know you. That's number one. Number two, if I were you, I would also be a little less judgmental on the whole Nadia solo mom thing. She went out, she got herself a job, you know, it's a job, and she did the do and the funky chicken too, man. So back the hell off!
Funky chicken, hey! Shut up, man.
That's funny, hey!
Shut up!
Hey.
I don't like it when he does that.
Bud, you know that you're trying to taunt him, aren't you?
Shut up, man.
I'm going to come over and belt you.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Then don't do that.
Ow! That hurt.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt worse. All night long tonight. What is it with you, man? I'm going to wind up killing you, and I'll be really sad when I do.
Yeah, I'll feel bad too, but not that bad.
I'll feel bad when you die, but not that bad neither.
Okay, you guys done? In other news, a look at Americans killed in the attack on the Benghazi consulate. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans were killed during an attack on the Benghazi consulate in Libya on Tuesday. A look at the victims. Chris Stevens was a career diplomat. Apparently, he was very popular among gamers who were the aficionados and the devotees of a certain video game. Mr. Stevens spoke Arabic and French, and had served two tours in Libya, including running the office in Benghazi during the revolt against Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. He also brokered tribal disputes and conducted U.S. You know, I hope that the people that killed this man know who and what they killed. And all of this stuff about the movie and the anti... this is America. We have free speech here. You know, stick it up your you-know-what. That's what I say. Oh, really, Mr. Hendry? Do you want to endanger people? Here's what I would like to see you people talking about. I'd like to see you stand up for the institutions in this country a little more than you do. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see you not pick and choose who's in the White House before you, you know.
Talking politics again, ma'am.
Oh. Anyway, Chris Stevens, the career diplomat, spoke Arabic and French. There's a young man, very talented guy. And I say young man, he was 52. But to me, you know.
Well, he's not that much younger.
Well, okay, so thank you, bud.
You're just older.
He brokered tribal disputes, conducted U.S. outreach efforts in Jerusalem, Cairo, Damascus, and Riyadh. Stevens is survived by his parents and his sister, Anne. He is the sixth U.S. ambassador to be killed on duty. Sean Smith, an Air Force veteran who worked as an information management specialist for the State Department for 10 years in posts including Brussels, Baghdad, and Pretoria. He's survived by his wife, Heather, and two children, Samantha and Nathan. The other two have yet to be identified by the State Department. God bless our great country. And, you know, before you start talking about, oh, let's restrict our speech here and there and everything, let's start talking about defending free speech and asking ourselves, when's the world going to start to catch up? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the world catching up? If the world is a place that I should respect and that I should consider to be a very valuable place that is worthy of equality with America in every way, shape, and form, then I'm going to expect a little something from them too. Not acting like the animals that they've been acting like. You know, we put our lives on the line for that country. Ah, forget it. Phil Hendry Show, we'll see you tonight. Let that be a lesson to you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Henry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Henry.
Ah, forget it.
Forget it.